Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, it hurts. It really does. You know, we are all Eagles fans. No matter how much we disagree about whose fault it is, we're all Eagles fans. And they are really... a terrible football team. They really, 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 really are a bad, disgraceful football team. Look, let's get to it on the phone lines. 215-592-9494. They just flat out stink. And believe me, when I have a lot of comments in the beginning about Carson, in no way am I trying to indicate that there's not blame to go around, because there is blame to go around. But I do think he's the number one ill of this team. Let's go to the phones. Let's kick it off with Sean in Chester County, who's with us. What's going on, Sean?
So, Joe, I disagree. Listen, there's definitely a slice of the pie to go around right now. You know, whether it's the GM, the quarterback is playing the worst ball we've seen since he's been here. There's no question about it. But the head coach, okay, the question I would ask is incompetence or arrogance? Okay, they run the ball 8 straight times on the opening drive. It's working. Okay, Miles fumbles. He's been known to do that a time or two. They went away from that in the second half and only ran Miles 5 more times in the second half. So I would ask this. What is he doing to help a struggling quarterback? Okay, the quarterback, they're asking him to do too much right now. He throws the ball 35 times. Many of them are drop back passes in the pocket. We all know Carson plays better outside the pocket. So where is the design? Look at Baker Mayfield. It's a good comparison, Joe. Mm-hmm. Baker threw the ball 22 times, and the Cleveland ran the rock 40 times. Okay, the Eagles ran it only 25 times total in the game. So I think run to open the passing game, and then when you do that, roll Carson out. Get him away from the pressure. Get him away from the pocket.
I agree with you, Sean.
Crazy. We say this every week.
Yep.
We say this exact same thing every week, and it's almost like Doug blocks out the whatever we are. I guess we're negative Nancys. Doug blocks us out just like Carson blocks out all the negative.
Well,
and,
Sean,
and sometimes the negative is called for. Like, it's critical assessment. You're right. We should run it more. We should help Carson more, and we don't.
Sean, you're very right, and I think you're made even more right, if I could say there's a term such as called more right, by the success they had in the first drive running the ball. I mean, if they didn't have evidence that it could work, you know, you'd be like, all right, Doug doesn't believe it because he's never seen it.
Yeah.
He saw it on the first drive.
They were beating the Browns at their own game.
I'm with you, man.
We need more discipline from the head coach. More discipline and more commitment to that and what's working. And listen, maybe they need to get Carson to a shrink to get his head screwed on right, because I think he is a head case. But what's the point? Because if Doug is not going to make a commitment, this guy's not Joe Montana right now. We got to stop talking like he's a first-round pick and play to his strengths and manage the quarterback. And until they do that, I don't think anything else matters right now.
All right, Sean, you got it, man. Now, there's a lot of good points in there. There's no doubt. And, again, that's why we talk about a diversification of who to blame. This is not a one-track conversation. Let's go to Paul, who's with us. Paul, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Paul.
I'm a regular caller. It's been about 8 weeks. I've been really just sitting back and listening to everything that's being said about this football team. I really have to say I'm really disgusted with the city of Philadelphia right now, and especially the fans. I just want to talk to the Carson Wentz fans right now, and I just want to ask them, what in tarnations are you guys watching? You got $100 million quarterback. We have $100 million quarterback. On what planet can you sit there and hold the ball for 68 seconds before you make a damn decision on where you want to throw the ball? No elite. And I'm not just talking about Carson. I'm talking about any elite quarterback. The average elite quarterback takes about, 2 to 3 seconds, 4 seconds most. Carson has 8 seconds, 6 to 8 seconds. And I'm not being facetious. And then we come back the following week and we want to blame the O-line. Carson scoring 3, 7, 10 points, a half. On what planet does an all-star $100 million quarterback get that score, 3, 7, 10 points against the Cowboys, the Giants, and this last team? And then we come back and we blame the defense? On what planet does a $100 million quarterback get to turn the ball over twice every game? On what planet? And then we want to blame the head coach and the GM? You want to force-feed me Carson Wentz? Look, man, Jason Kelce's 32 years old. I'm 43. I don't have time for this crap. And then you got these people getting on the radio station before you guys and after you guys let the Bronco butt, and you got the city divided about this guy. If that was any other quarterback, they would have benched at his ass
down.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I'm not even saying permanently. He needs to sit down. Let's stop this foolishness.
Yeah,
you know, but if
they
can't. If a guy can pay $100 million quarterback, he does not need all-star wide receivers at every position. He doesn't need an all-star running back. He doesn't need an all-star O-line. You make the best with what you have, and that's why you get paid the big bucks. This is so Matthew Stafford and Kevin Cobb-esque all over, especially Kevin Cobb. We want this guy to be something so bad that we're going to overlook and blame everybody we can, except for the person we need to be pulling the ball out. He touches the ball every time we're off this, every time.
Paul, you got it off your chest, man. I think your comments are on point.
Here's the problem, Paul. Wentz's salary guaranteed this past offseason for next year. Next year's salary guaranteed. So now his dead cap hit for 2021 is $59 million.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an all-time disaster.
There's no way out.
Well, so there is, though, the thing, and John,
unless
is,
you trade him.
Well,
and he renegotiates his deal upon being traded.
Right, that is a possibility. The other, and again, I didn't think it was going to come to that, to this before the season, next season. But, John, I do think you have to strongly consider just having him as the most expensive backup in football next year. Because I do think it's a waste of people's time. I really do believe that. I think it's
you don't think that, well, I guess we've seen Jalen Hurts runs the zone read.
I have no idea if Hurts can play. I mean,
I'm telling you, if this staff has torn a quarterback's game down the way I've witnessed with Carson Wentz, and Carson has not absolved the blame. I mean, it's blame for everyone on that one.
Yep.
We are the opposite of a quarterback factory. Like, that's a joke, Howie, saying that we're a quarterback factory. Like, if you took a guy with the skills, with the natural talents that Carson Wentz has, and you've made him look like this, Jalen Hurts doesn't have a chance.
It's a concern. I understand it's a concern. Let's go to Neil in North Jersey. Neil, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call, as always.
Sure, buddy.
You know, yesterday's game was beyond even awful. It not only disgusted me, what made it even worse is you literally have a tandem right now in Howie Roseman and Carson Wentz that together collectively are worse than we ever thought they could possibly be. And there was so much blame to go around. And I'm sorry, but cut Jason Peters today.
Yep.
Here's a guy that got beat off the edge so much yesterday, and he was the same guy who tried to hold this hostage, right, by what? Demanding more money to move to left tackle. And what does this guy do? He gives up so many sacks, it's ridiculous. Could you imagine if Myles Garrett was actually on that line yesterday, and he would have been sacked three more times? It's absolutely unacceptable what we're seeing here. And the bottom line with Wentz, you know, it's his fault. His decision making, his accuracy have fallen off a cliff. And you said it very well earlier. He's a beaten down, broken man who can't play anymore. And quite frankly, Carson Wentz should never throw another snap in the National Football League for the Eagles. It is time to see what we have in Jalen Hurts or what we don't have in him. because keeping Wentz and doing the same thing over and over again benefits no one. He's a net negative. Carson Wentz is a net negative who literally and figuratively makes us worse each and every game. Every time he goes back to throw a pass, I'm in terror. I'm frightened because I'm expecting the worst every single time. And look, think of it this way. He holds the ball through sacks, fumbles. He is a safety. A fifth-year quarterback doesn't know that when you're in the end zone, you throw it away to not have a safety. Guys are open. He misses them completely. Then he tries to throw it into tight windows. And that 3rd and 9 yesterday where he threw against four defenders. Think about it. He throws a pass at four defenders like a Hail Mary. It's an absolute disgrace. And it starts from Howie Roseman on down. Roseman's to blame for building an old, injury-prone, expensive roster. Peterson is at fault for not game planning and making incoherent decisions on offense. No rhyme or reason. And the defense, listen, defense played its heart out. I thought they played well. They got some turnovers. But they can only do so much. Usually the defense stops. The offense has to come in and at least play complimentary football. But how if you're on this defense on the Philadelphia Eagles, you stop them wherever, and then you have to turn over to this offense who can't score at all. They can't score. They can't do anything right or be coherent. And in closing, let me say this. I said last week the troika of Wentz, Roseman, and Peterson cannot stay. Carson Wentz cannot be the quarterback of this team going forward, period. His days in Philly need to end. He is not worth the money he gets. He is not worth the time and investment to try and make him better because he's not in a position where he's going to get better.
We got you, man. A lot of points. Appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate it, man. There's a lot in there. One of the things is let's get to the assignment of blame because he was talking about the assignment of blame there for a moment. So let's just lay out our Twitter poll question of the day first, which is brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park, open for gaming, live racing, sports wagering, and golf. You can visit DelawarePark.com, lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. It was pretty clear there from Neil's call. There's three guys he blames the most in whatever order he wants to put them. That's, Doug, Howie, and Carson. Let's add a fourth in here for our Twitter poll question of the day, and everyone can decide. Today's question, who is most to blame for the Eagles' struggles this season? And the four choices, and we could have considered Schwartz because he's had some bad moments, but I think the legitimate fourth option is actually Lurie. Because of things like the Peter situation, because of has he neutered his head coach, because of just so many different things that are going wrong, it feels like that are just lack of institutional control. Let's put it that way. Let's lay out the question of who is most to blame for the Eagles' struggles this season, and we'll go top down. So A, the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, B, the general manager, Howie Roseman, C, the head coach, Doug Peterson, or D, the starting quarterback, Carson Wentz. And you certainly can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And I think most of us would certainly say that all four have a hand in it. And the question is just how are you going to split up that pie? We'll see how the results come in. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. The other thing, John, that really struck me from Neil's call, and I largely agree with where he was at. There's a little bit I disagree with. He said Carson can never take another snap with the Eagles. I don't agree with that. But here's something I do think is important. If I'm the Eagles, I got to see Jalen Hurts play this season because I want to know as I evaluate who should be the quarterback next season whether Hurts can play. Now, I'll speak from my own personal vantage point here. This is Joe DeCamera on November 23rd. I haven't seen Jalen Hurts play quarterback in the NFL, and that includes preseason games. There was no OTAs.
Right.
So, I feel, and I think I speak for pretty much all of us, we really don't know what exactly he'd be. There's you feel a pull of hope and you feel a pull of doubt. But here's the deal. I do think regardless of where the Eagles are in the standings, I mean, I literally mean it, regardless of where they are. So they can win their next two. They could lose their next two. At some point this year, if I'm the Eagles, if I am Lurie, Roseman, and Peterson, I've got to find out what Jalen Hurts can do as a quarterback in a game, as the starter. So I'm not saying it has to be this week. I'll tell you this. I would go to Hurts this week, meaning the Monday game versus Seattle, which, by the way, is probably the worst defense they'll face the rest of the season. I would go to Hurts this week if I felt he's ready. And, again, I don't mean me, Joe DeCamera. I mean me, Roseman, and Peterson.
Man, there's no way he's ready.
Well, I don't know that. But if he's not ready, I'm going to him and saying to him, Jalen, this is you and me, and this is private, and I'm telling you, you're going to play this year. And so your ass got to get ready because you got about 2 or 3 weeks here. I'm going to you, and I'm going to my quarterback's coach, and I'm going to all my offensive assistants, my morning wags, my Scandarellas, and all these guys. I'm saying, guys, private conversation, internal here, internal memo, we're going to him in December. So get him ready for the next 2 to 3 weeks because it's going to happen. So I do feel, John, they have to see what he has or, as Neil said, what he doesn't have.
Right.
That's a really important – and by the way, this isn't – and I want to be clear. I know there's a chance Jalen Hurts might fall on his face. He might fall flat on his face.
Doug.
But I accept that as a fan because I'd rather find out sink or swim with Hurts than go into the offseason unprepared for what he could do in an NFL game not knowing.
Okay. Well – Doug has told us that he views playing Jalen Hurts as the starter as conceding the season.
Yeah, which I thought was a foolish, foolish statement.
We know how he feels, though.
Yeah, we do.
So now we know that might not be just his view, right?
I agree.
That is probably echoed by Howie and Jeff.
And let's be real, it's probably not Doug's call. No matter what he says.
I absolutely feel that it's not Doug's call.
Yeah.
Even though he said, I'm the head coach. Yep. You know, when pressed about it today by Angelo, yep, it is my call. I don't think it is.
I agree.
It's going to be interesting when they make this decision, if they make this decision, it will be better for this team to not make the playoffs, period. It will be better. Think about it. You jump, what, 15 spots in the draft?
Maybe 20.
20 spots
maybe
in the draft? Yeah, sure. I don't know exactly. But we're talking about
15, 18.
More like
probably
15. Yeah.
We're talking about a game-breaking player in the top 10 or Jalen Reagor, right? That's the difference that we're talking about
right
here.
Right.
So it will be interesting to see if they feel like they should – depart from the original plan for this season. I think if we see Jalen Reagor, it's because
Hurts.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Jalen Hurts. If we see Jalen Hurts, it's because they no longer believe winning the division matters.
Well, yeah, I would say it becomes no longer the top priority. I agree with you on that. Let's go to Paul in Downingtown. Paul, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Paul.
This is just a mess. It's my belief in any type of business or organizational failure is top-down responsibility. So I think Howie's number one, Doug's number two, Carson's number three. I got Carson is probably the most likely to succeed somewhere else. I still have the most hope for him. But I really look at it right now as like a triumvirate, a suck. I mean, I think that we have the worst playing quarterback. I think that we have the worst game day coach. I think that we have the worst GM in all of football. And I don't really know where to go from there. I know that Howie isn't doing anything and is not in a position to do anything to improve his standing. And he could be fired tomorrow for all the, you know, influence he's going to have on the team between now and the close of the season. I think we get the next guy in to start preparing for the draft, get his scouting department in place. Because here's another thing about Howie, and I hate to harp on the guy, but here's another thing that's true about Howie. If you look at Howie's drafts, every single one of them that he's been in charge of, even before, you know, the 17 season, if you look at the person that ESPN had up as their best available player, or you just selected from their best available pool of five, instead of going with the person that Howie selected, the Eagles are a better team right now.
Yeah,
and that's a tremendous waste of money. That's an indictment from not just the scouting department, but Howie's decision-making. And I went back and looked at it over the weekend, and ESPN would have done a better job if Jeff Lurie just goes to the draft himself and looks at his, you know, computer and says, okay, who's ESPN saying I should draft? Mm-hmm. The Eagles have a better roster today. And that's messed
amazing
up.
That's how I draft with fantasy football, by the way, Paul. It's not my picks, man. It's ESPN's picks.
I think that's pretty much all of us.
Yeah, that's not right, man. I almost spilled my coffee. But at least I can laugh on a day like this because yesterday was pathetic on so many levels. It spoke to organizational failure across the board. The Jason Peters thing was a disaster. It was a disgrace. It shouldn't have taken him that long to pull. I don't know if he was reluctant to do it because somebody up in the owner's box was like, no, give him another chance. But this is – every angle you look at the Eagles, poor play, bad decision making. There isn't anywhere that you can go and say, this is what we're building on next year.
And no, you're right. There's very, very few building blocks, and Paul, a great call. John, let's get to other stuff. We've talked so much about Carson, and we touched on the Peters thing. Give me another thing from yesterday, just more expansively, that stands out. I mean, there's other aspects. They did some end-around fakes to Rager. Then they kind of stopped, but they started with that. What else?
Along those lines, the idea of one play leading to another concept. The idea of these our offense making sense, you know, fitting together,
yep,
presenting a puzzle to a defense that they have trouble decoding. That it's been so long since I've seen that happen here. It's so willy-nilly, and the only thing you can trust in every week is that we will get away from running the football, that we will run the football successfully, yet we will still get away from it with no explanation.
Yep.
We weren't behind to where we had to throw to catch up. It made no sense to throw in those conditions to begin with.
That's another point. You're right.
So the play calling, you know, I'm really down on Carson. I'm certainly very down on Howie. But Doug Peterson seems to be getting worse as an offensive play caller, if that's even possible.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders yesterday, and look, the fumble was monumental. And but it is 16 carries for 66 yards, which is over 4 yards a carry. Effective. Boston Scott, 5 carries for 24 yards, 4.8 yards a carry. Effective. And it's like, well, let's not run it anymore.
Just like everything else, it feels like we overthink things. And Doug wants to
square peg in round holes.
Fancy and throw that thing. Yeah. Even though we can't protect the quarterback, even though the quarterback can't make a decision or a throw to save his life.
Yeah, there was
still throwing.
You know, there was a year, 95, the Eagles started out with Randall. He was really struggling. They're 1-3. They bench Randall. They had been throwing the ball a lot, installation of West Coast offense. Ray Rhodes year one, John Gruden offensive coordinator year one. And when they made the switch to Ronnie Pete, they not only made the switch to Ronnie Pete, they made a philosophical switch and said, we're just going to run the ball. And they had two backs. They had Ricky Waters and Charlie Garner. Mm-hmm. And look, Ricky Waters is better than Miles Sanders, although Miles Sanders is good. And Charlie Garner is certainly a better backup than Boston Scott. But they ran the rock consistently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to have some close games. You're not going to blow teams out. You're not going to typically score 35 points, 40 points running the rock. But, you know, ball control, ball security, make it easier on the quarterback. Do more of what you do best and try to win games that way. And if they had done that, they could have beaten Cleveland and the Giants and, you know, maybe another team or two this year. But it's really poorly structurally put together by the coaching staff. Schematically and game plan wise, really aggravating. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Coming up, Seth Joyner on fire after the show yesterday, after the game yesterday on television. What Seth had to say specifically about Carson Wentz, you'll hear that. We'll rock the calls as well. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.